Is this better? Okay, much better. All right. If you don't mind, you know, everyone, if you sit sort of too far away from me, would you please sit a little bit closer? And I usually will not generate too much, you know, waters in my speaking. And also, don't worry, I don't have SARS. All right, so it won't hurt you. And tonight, I'm going to speak with you. The topic of my sermon is What Went Wrong with Lot. Now, let me ask you a question. Who was this person, Lot? Everybody know who Lot is? Raise your hand. Lot? Yes? Okay. What is the famous person associated with Lot? Abraham. And what is the relationship between Abraham and Lot? Okay, Lot is Abraham's nephew, right? And then, so if we know that fact, we know that Lot started as a very good person because he followed Abraham all the way from the land of Babylon, you know, going to the, just like following the Korean War, okay, going to the northwest and going down to the southeast. The total land traveled by Abraham and the Lot, I think it's about 1,200 miles, okay, by foot. So it's not easy. We are talking about many, many thousand years ago, traveled 12,000 miles. So Lot, I think, started as a person of great faith. Otherwise, he would not follow Abraham. But on the other hand, when we look at the whole life of Lot, it was really a tragic life. And then we all read in the Bible, and the Bible says we have to remember Lot's wife. What happened to the wife of Lot? What happened to her? Do we know the story? What happened to her? Yes? Yeah, she became a pillar of salt, right? Because when the Lord God destroyed Sodom, and then the angels warned Lot and his family, saying, you know, run away from this place. Don't ever look back. What happened to Lot's wife? She looked back and became a pillar of salt. So that's a very, very tragic story. Not only that, in the whole life of Lot, there are other, you know, bad things happen in his life. Alright, for example, when I was a high school student, when I read Genesis chapter 19, the second part of Genesis chapter 19, I was always embarrassed by that. I said, oh boy, this is so bad. I hope my unbelieving friends would never find out that there's such a thing recorded in the Bible. Because after Lot and his daughters escaped from Sodom, and then some bad things happened between him and then the daughters, and then they produced two children. You know, so it's becoming a very difficult situation. You know, those two children, on the one hand, were his what? Grandson. But on the other hand, are his own son. So it's a very, very wicked situation. And then, so throughout the life of Lot, we see some good things in him, but we also see some bad things. Yet overall, the Bible tells us that Lot is a righteous man, because the Bible says so. Even though Lot was a righteous man, but Lot was truly a tragic figure in the Bible, because he only managed to save himself. When God destroyed Sodom, yes, he escaped Sodom with his wife, with his two daughters. But then, as we mentioned earlier, his wife turned back and became a pillar of salt. So he was not able to save his wife. Even though he was able to lead his two daughters left Sodom. But on the other hand, from what happened in the Bible, we know that his two daughters, even though physically were saved from the destruction, but spiritually they were so far away from the Lord. Even though physically they escaped from the destruction, but spiritually they still associated with Sodom. So we can say that even though Lord, the Bible tells us he was a righteous man, but he was a very, very poor righteous man. He was only able to save himself. He was not able to influence even the people around him. He was not able to influence even his own family. So therefore, I think tonight we can all learn something from this person, Lord. Even though that's a negative example, but when we learn the negative example, we can all learn what are the things we should avoid. There are three things I'd like to share with you. Number one, we like to see why we say Lot was a righteous man. And number two, we like to see that even though Lot was a righteous man, but Lot was a righteous man with no impact in other people's life. Thirdly, we like to find out why we say Lot was a righteous man, but he did not have any impact. It's a contradiction. A righteous man, by definition, is a person who has a right relationship with God. If a person who has a right relationship with God, then why he does not have any impact on other people's life? And then the third thing we like to find out, the reason why Lot was not able to influence any other people was because Lot compromised in his faith. Even though he was a righteous man, even though he was a confession Christian, use our common knowledge, use our common terms, but he compromised in his own faith. Therefore, he did not have any influence in his life. Even though eventually he may be saved, but his whole life was a sad story. When I remember, when Lot finally came up to see the Lord, I think the Lord will be what? Lord will be bow his head, and the Lord wouldn't dare to look at the Lord, to look at our Lord, because he knew that he wasted all the opportunities given to him in this world. So those are three things I like to share with you. Each point may take, 10 minutes. Alright, so we shall finish on time. Don't worry about that. First thing is that Lot was a righteous man. How do we know that? Because 2 Peter chapter 2 just tells us. He says Lot was a righteous man. Not only that, the Bible also tells us that Lot was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men living in that evil city of Sodom. Lot was a righteous man. Therefore, Lot has a very sharp conscience. When he witnessed all the bad things, all the evil things happen around him, Lot was distressed. Lot was distressed because it was a mental torment to his conscience. Lot was distressed because he was surrounded by all the blatant evil, yet he was helpless to prevent that, to change that. But despite all of that, Lot was a righteous man. Lot kept a high moral standard. Lot was a righteous man. How do we know that? Because if we read Genesis chapter 18 verses 23 to 32, we will know that. Let us turn to Genesis chapter 18. Let's read verse 23 through 26. Okay, Genesis 18, verse 23 through 26. Let me read it for you, and then everyone, if you have the Bible, follow with me. Otherwise, please listen. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing. to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike, far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? Okay, so here the Lord was considering destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And then Abraham, knowing the intention of the Lord, Abraham was pleading with the Lord. And how did he pleading with the Lord? He said, Lord, you know what? In that city, Sodom, even though there are great evils being conducted there, but on the other hand, do you know, do you realize there are righteous men in that city? How do Abraham know there are righteous men in that city? I think for a very simple reason. Because Abraham knew at that time, at least there will be one righteous person in that city. Who was that righteous person? Lord. Because of that, Abraham pleading with the Lord. If Abraham knew there's nothing good in Sodom, perhaps Abraham would know pleading makes no sense at all. But Abraham knew at least there will be one person who was righteous at that time. Therefore, Abraham pleaded with the Lord. Now, if we read the Bible, we know that there's a very interesting bargaining between Abraham and the Lord. So they started with a 50 righteous person, then reduced to 45, reduced to 40, reduced to 35, finally reduced to how many righteous person? 10. Do you remember? Finally, Abraham was able to negotiate down until 10. So the Lord said, if we can find 10 righteous person in that city, I will not destroy that city. 10. I don't know why Abraham stopped right there. Or maybe the Lord cut off Abraham at that point. If Abraham stopped at 10, I think Abraham had his own reason. Do you know his own reason? The reason is very simple. In Sodom, there's a Lot. And the Lot is married or not married? Lot is married with a wife. With what? With two daughters. So there's a 4 in the family. And then the two daughters are all grown up, also going to be married to another 2 person. So there will be Lot, his wife, 2 daughters, 2 future son-in-law. So how many we have? 6 already. So Abraham perhaps was thinking that Lot, you are a righteous person, at least you should be able to influence your own family. So how many righteous person you will get? 6. Now with 6 righteous person, I don't think you need to stretch a lot in order to reach what? To reach 10. So maybe after Abraham negotiated with God, down to 10, Abraham was saying, well, I have done my duty. Right? This is pure speculation. Okay, don't tell anybody. The Bible teaches that. Okay, this is like pure speculation. Maybe one day when I see Abraham, I will ask him, why you stop at 10? Okay, if you stop at 1, maybe the city can be saved. Anyway, but the unfortunate thing is that even though it's down to 10, but it turns out to be how many righteous persons in the city of Sodom? Only single one, only Lot. He was a righteous person. Why we know Lot was a righteous man? If we read Genesis chapter 19, we will know that. In Genesis chapter 19, tell us the stories of those 2 angels sent by God to scout the city of Sodom to see whether that city was truly an evil city or not. And then I will read for you chapter 19, verse 1 through 7. The 2 angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and the Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. My lords, he said, please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night and then go on your way early in the morning. No, they answered, we will spend the night in the square. but he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, so that we can have," now here is a PG-13 word, "we can have sex with them." Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him and said, "No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing." From this simple story, there are a couple of things we can learn. First of all, Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. Now, who can sit at the gateway of the city? I think, according to ancient Mid-Eastern custom, only the people with position, only the authorities can sit in the gateway of the city. So even though Lot was sort of like an alien, as an outsider, but on the other hand, apparently he lived in that city long enough, and then, so at least on surface, he was respected. He got to be counted among the people with authority, so he can sit in the gateway of the city. This is the first thing we can learn about Lot. The second thing we can learn of Lot is that gateway in the city in the evening is just like a marketplace. All those people gather there. And then from the Bible, we see one thing very interesting. That is, when those two strangers show up at the gateway of the city, who got up to meet them? Only Lot. Only Lot got up to meet them, bowed down and greet them, and invited them to his own house. So I think here we see a great contrast. Lot was truly a righteous man. When he saw those two strangers showing up, he got up and then he wanted to show those two strangers, and then he wanted to play host to those two strangers. All the other people in the gateway, they just turn a blind eye to those two strangers. Well, they are not really turning a blind eye. They have some other things in mind. And the Lord, he was sincere and urgent in inviting those two angels to his house. And the verse 3 told us that he insisted strongly. Why Lot insisted strongly? I think for a very simple reason. Because Lot anticipated that if those two strangers really stayed outside, really stayed in the town square, in the city square overnight, bad things could easily happen to them. Because of that, Lot insisted strongly, saying, no, you can never stay outside. Please come to my house. Let me play host to you. This is what Lot was doing. And then eventually they did go with him. In verse 3, it teaches us that. Now, the original language "they did go with him" was stronger. The original language was something like, Lot's house is here. Those two angels already walk past the interaction to Lot's house, but Lot almost dragging them, turning them away, changing direction, and then inviting them to his house. So this was the original language. So it's almost like the two angels already determined to stay outside, but the Lord insisted, saying, "No, this is no good. You shouldn't do that." Lord invited them, almost forced them into his own house, because Lord knew in his heart staying outside would be dangerous. Now what happened? Lord tried to protect those two strangers, but then he ended up in danger himself. Verse 4 teaches us that all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, young and old, surrounded the house. Well, when those two strangers showed up at the gateway, nobody paid attention. Now when Lot invited them to his own house, everybody showed up. What they want to do? Their demand is bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them. Verse 5. What they are trying to do? We use a more blatant term. What they are trying to do is they want to gang rape those two strangers. What they want to do? They want to conduct in a perverted behavior, specifically prohibited in the Bible. If we read the New Testament, if we read the Bible, it is very clear. So that was really a horrible thing. And then, my dear brothers and sisters, I don't want to dwell too much on that, but that's truly the wicked thing that happened in Sodom. Even today, we have a particular English word derived from this word, Sodom. And I think it's also very tragic that in Genesis 18:21, the Lord says, I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as an outcry that has reached me. Now, without even the angel looking hard, the people at Sodom revealed to the angel their evil deeds and the evil thoughts. And then another thing we can learn immediately is that from this passage, indeed there was no other righteous man in that evil city. Only Lot was a righteous man. Now, the last thing we can learn from this description is that part of Lot's reaction demonstrated his righteousness. Okay, in verse 6, the Bible tells us that Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him. Can you imagine that? Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him. What Lot was doing there? He went outside to meet them and shut the door. Why he shut the door? Because he felt that inside the house, you will be safer, right? But on the other hand, when Lot was doing that, Lot put himself in harm's way. Lot, in order to protect his guest, he put himself in harm's way. We can say Lot not only was a righteous man, Lot was also a man of courage. He knew that in order to do good, there's a certain risk you have to take. There's a certain risk you have to be willing to bear. This is what Lot was doing. Not only that, Lot also argued with the people there. What did he say? He said, "No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing." He called them friends. Another translation can translate friends into brothers. "No, my friends, no, my brothers." Lot was very familiar with those people who surrounded his house. Lot was very familiar with those people who came up with such a wicked demand. And then Lot also said, "Don't do such a wicked thing." I think Lot was a person, not only was a righteous person, he was also not afraid to point out that what they were trying to do was what? Was wicked. Lot had his own moral standards, and he was not afraid to say what you guys are doing were not right. How many times we don't even have the courage of Lot? How many times we feel that as long as the majority of the people like it, then so be it. But the Lord was not like that. Even though the whole city of Sodom wanted to do that, Lord said, no, this is a wicked thing. Don't do it, please. So from all this, I think we can conclude Lot was a righteous man. But I think the sad thing about Lot was that even though he was a righteous man, he really lacked any influence. And how do we know that? Those are the second thing we can learn from the Bible. Lot was a righteous man with minimum impact. First of all, he did not have any impact on the people at Sodom. If we read chapter 19, verse 8, what was the reaction of the people there? They said, get out of our way, they replied. And they said, this fellow come here as an alien, and now he wants to play the judge. Even though Lot was a righteous man, but apparently the people there did not respect him at all. They say, get out. They say, don't disturb what we want to do. You just get out. Leave us alone. They even mocked him, saying, you are an alien. Now you want to be a judge among us? Come on. What a joke. This was their reaction. The second thing, not only Lot was not able to influence the people at Sodom, he was not able to influence his own future sons-in-law. In verse 14, so Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city. But his sons-in-law thought he was what? Joking. Now, think about it. We Chinese people, we always say that whenever you heard that bad news, whenever you heard a great warning, what you do? Even though you are suspicious of that, but you always try to heed the warning, right? Have you ever heard this Chinese expression saying, let me say it in Mandarin, 不怕一万只怕万一. You are not afraid of 10,000. You're just afraid of the possibility of 1 out of 10,000. Okay? So, when Lord said, you know, the city is going to be destroyed, you know, if I were Lord's son-in-law, I said, well, I don't know whether this old guy was crazy or not. But since what he said was so what? So serious. Let's what? Let's heed his advice. Let's go out, you know, avoiding this city. What will be the worst can happen was nothing happened, so we just call home again. Right? What's wrong with just going out to hide somewhere for 1 week? If nothing happened, then what? Then we just go home. This is exactly what happened with Saul, right? If somebody suspect you may get that virus, then what do? You stay for home for 2 weeks. If after 2 weeks nothing happened, you know, nothing happened, I got a 2 week vacation, right? But these two future sons-in-law were not even willing to do that. They think Lot was joking. Another thing I want to mention is the following. The English translation, I think, was correct, saying those two young men pledged to marry his daughter, so his future son-in-law. Okay, some of you are very young, you know, perhaps you are only son, not son-in-law yet. Okay, maybe you wanted very much to become son-in-law one day, but don't rush that. Okay, I remember the first time I saw my father-in-law. That was the day before the wedding. Okay, I knew that even though at that time, if he did not like me, there's nothing he can change. Alright, because the wedding is the second day. But I still remember vividly when I received this, you know, my future father-in-law. Boy, I almost shaking, right? Because I never seen him before. Because I know that, you know, because I just feel that deep in my heart, I need to pay my utmost respect. Okay? And then he came to see me, and then because it was a memorial weekend, and then it also the graduation of the university, I couldn't find any hotel room for him. So I end up put him in one of the dormitory room where the classmates, you know, went for a vacation. I feel so bad about it. I say, I'm sorry, Daddy. I have to put you through this. Please forgive me, you know. I just know how can I express my apology and sorry for not treating him as good as possible. You know, this is a proper attitude of a future son-in-law to a future father-in-law. Now, what happened to Lot? Apparently, Lot's son-in-law did not respect him at all. Lot said, you know, hurry up, hurry up. His son-in-law said, oh, old man, what do you have to say? You say, hurry up, what a joke. Come on, go away, don't bother us. This is what happened. Okay, so Lot was not even able to influence his son-in-law. And the Lot had no impact on his own daughters. I don't want to spend too much time dwell on that. Okay, we all know the sad story is that the daughter, you know, got him drunk and then do the utmost, you know, shameful thing. Now, why daughter will got him drunk? For a very simple reason. Because the daughter knew Lot would never do anything like that. But the daughter did that anyway. Because the daughters, they had no respect for their own father. Even though they knew their father had a high moral standard. But the daughter was almost saying, you keep your high moral standard. We don't want to keep that. So Lot had no impact on her own daughter. And one thing maybe I would like to explain is that the first son produced by her daughter, the name was what? Moab, right? And what was the Hebrew meaning of Moab? The Hebrew meaning of Moab was the seed of the father. Can you imagine that? The daughter even dared to use the name. The name was the seed of the father. The daughter did not have any sense of shame. And then, lastly, Lord did not have any impact on his wife. His wife looked back, became a pillar. Physically, she left Sodom, yet her heart stayed there. Now, the third main item I'd like to share with you tonight is Lot lost his impact because he compromised his own faith. Now we can also just look at the different people Lot failed to influence. And then the only reason, the fundamental reason why Lot could not influence them was very simple, because he compromised in his own faith. Now, let's talk about the son-in-laws of Lot. Listen to verse 8:14. See what Lot has to say. Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city. Because the Lord is about to destroy the city. Remember, there are two important elements in Lot's warning. The first element is that the city is going to be destroyed. The second is that who's going to do it? Lot said, the Lord is going to destroy the city. The Lord, L-O-R-D. Now, in the older translation of the English Bible, they will use the term Jehovah. Now, what is Jehovah? Jehovah was the holy name of the Lord. Okay, so the modern translation sometimes use the term Yahweh, okay, because that the original Greek, how to say that, Greek alphabet, okay, YH, WH, and then if you put the right sound in there, the proper pronunciation should be Yahweh. So Yahweh was the holy name of the Lord. There are two elements in the warning. The first warning was that the city is going to get destroyed. You know, my own speculation is that when the two sons-in-law heard about that, wow, they got very nervous. The city going to get destroyed. Boy, that's serious. That's serious. Who's going to do it? When is going to happen? And then the Lord said, Yahweh going to do it. Do you know why the two sons-in-law think it's a joke? Because they did not know Yahweh at all. Because even though Lord was a righteous man, he compromised his faith too much to the point that his two future sons-in-law don't even know, didn't even pay attention to the holy name of the Lord. They did not respect him to the point that even he mentioned the holy name of the Lord, they paid no attention. Even Lot mentioned the holy name of the Lord, they felt he was joking because he compromised his faith so much. Second example, as Lot who compromised his faith so much, was just right after the people at Sodom asking those two guests, they want to gang rape them, and the Lord proposed the most ridiculous thing you can ever find in the Bible. The Lord said, don't do this to those two young men. I have two daughters. Do it to them. Now, many people, when you read that, you say, oh, what Lot did was horrible. You are right. What Lot did was horrible. Was an absolutely no-no. On the one hand, Lot may have thought, boy, I had a very noble objective. I wanted to protect those two guests. And then, in order to protect those two guests, I'm willing to sacrifice my two daughters. But my dear brothers and sisters, this is just another way of compromise. Okay? The Bible never teaches us that we can justify our means because of our ends. The Bible never says that. Whenever we have noble ends, we have to achieve the noble ends through godly means. Many of us, we compromise. Maybe we didn't do as bad a thing as Lot did or as Lot suggested. But how many times we think, since we have a noble end, therefore we can use any means to achieve that. That is a compromise of our faith. Lot here had a noble end. He wanted to protect those two strangers, even though he did not know those two strangers were actually angels. But the way Lot wanted to do it is through evil means. This is a compromise of his faith. This was compromise of his own standards. Now, because he compromised his own standards first, therefore later on, when the two daughters had a chance, the two daughters did the same thing to Lot. The two daughters almost were saying, you didn't care about our reputation. Now we don't care about your reputation too. I'm not saying what Lot's daughter did was right, but I'm just saying Lot was reaping the consequence of his own proposal. Now, why Lot lost his influence? I think one thing very clear, Lot lost his influence. We can find it out from Genesis 19, chapter 9. Genesis 19, chapter 9. Genesis chapter 19, verse 15. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the man grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. Now, do we understand what happened here? When the morning came, when the Lord was about to destroy the city, what was Lot doing? He was dragging his feet. So the angel told them, "Hurry up, hurry up. You know, get up and run away." But Lot didn't do that. Not only that, the Bible also taught us he hesitated. Who hesitated? Lot. Not his wife, not his two daughters. He hesitated. So how did they get out of Sodom? The Bible teaches us the two angels end up holding their hands. Okay, now think with me. I'm one angel, and the brother Mingxin is another angel. So those two of us are angels. What we do with the Lot's family? My right hand was holding Lot's hand. My left hand was holding the hands of Lot's wife. And the Mingxin's right hand was holding one of the daughter, and the left hand was holding one of the daughter. So literally, those four in the family were dragged out of the city because they hesitate. Why they hesitate? Because Lot, he himself hesitated. He was not willing to leave. Now, why is this important? I tell you, this is very important. Because in a family of four, who was the spiritual leader? Lot was the spiritual leader. In this family, who was spiritually stronger than the rest of the family? Lot. Now, if Lot was spiritually stronger than the rest of the family, do you know what? The hesitation of Lot became a stumbling block to his family members. Have you ever thought about it? You know, when I was young, I read the story of Lot's wife. I always felt, "Oh, you are such a stupid woman. How dare you look back?" But now I realize why she looked back. Do you know why she looked back? Because her own husband hesitated. She was already reluctant to leave. If her husband saying, "Honey, let's go. It's dangerous. Come on. Don't drag your feet. Let's just go. You know, leave everything behind. Our life is most important. Let's just go." Do you think that his wife would look back? No, I don't think so. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. He said, "It's very dangerous. Oh, the city is going to get destroyed. But oh, I don't want to leave. We have so many things here. Oh, what a pity we have to abandon all of those." Now, because he did that, that has a tremendous impact on his own wife. So even though he went outside the city, his wife was thinking, "Boy, you know, not only me, who felt it is such a waste for all the things that we abandoned. My husband also felt it's a huge waste." So therefore, he felt, "Well, let's just turn back to take a peek, see what happened." Well, lo and behold, he became a pillar of salt. After all, Lot still had this fear of the Lord. He dared not to look back. But his hesitation absolutely becoming a stumbling block for his wife. So who was to blame for his wife's turning back? Who? Eventually, Lot was responsible for that. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, I know my time is up. Let me just conclude by saying, some of us, you know, we are parents. I think we have a tremendous responsibility. We need to set a good example for our own children. Especially with parents, you know, we are looked upon in the church as leaders. It is even more important. Because if we stumble, we absolutely can become a stumbling block for our own children. Now, some of us, young men and young women here, maybe you are the older ones in the sibling. Your younger siblings, your younger brothers and sisters look upon to you. Remember, since they look upon to you, so what you do can set a good example for them, but on the other hand, can also set a negative example for them. If you stumble, if you fail, maybe you didn't fail as severely, but you will have a huge, tremendous negative impact on some other people who are weaker in you, in the Lord. So those are the things we need to remember. Why Lot lost his influence? Very easy, very simple. Because he compromised in his faith. My dear brothers and sisters, let's remember, you know, there can be no compromise in our faith. If we compromise, it's a slippery slope. And then we compromise once, we compromise twice, just like what Lot did. He used to leave a tent close to Sodom, but without his knowing, he was inside the city. He lived a life totally lost his testimony. He lived a life totally lost the respect of his fellow inhabitants in the city. Eventually, he lost his influence. What a tragedy. Let's pray. Father, we know that you allow this story to be recorded in the Bible, even though there are some very hard, very difficult passages in this story. But we know that the Bible tells us this story. It's just not for the story itself. The Bible tells us the whole life story of Lot is trying to warn us not to follow the same wrong way. So tonight we pray that all the things Lot did wrong, we can avoid with your grace. Tonight we pray that give us the wisdom, give us the grace, give us the power so that we can keep our faith and never compromise, and knowing that if we are willing to keep our faith, not yielding any, your grace will be sufficient to cover us in times of difficulties. We don't have to resort to our own ways. We give thanks to you. Please continue to help us to understand your word and then to apply your word in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.